Welcome back to West Kent Radio's Legal Eagle, where Berry and Lambert's Anthony Kelp is discussing dealing with European Union assets in your will. In part one, we successfully navigated the topic without getting into awkward political waters over the word Brexit. Now we move on to another potentially emotive topic. You mentioned succession issues and heirship. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, as mentioned, the heirship rules, sometimes called forced heirship, set out what certain relatives must inherit from one's estate. And it often only leaves part of the estate available to pass under a will if you want it to go somewhere else. So different countries have different rules of heirship, so you have to look at each country on its own, and that could be particularly complicated if you happen to have assets in a number of different countries which apply these types of rules. You may also know that Sharia law imposes this sort of forced heirship rule as well, and one can make wills under English law which comply with Sharia law. But in that case, I would always advise the client to show it to their imam to check that whatever we draft is compliant with the religious rules of the relevant school of Islam. And other religions also have such rules. We've also got another issue. Let's come back to France as our example. Under the European Succession Regulation, which I mentioned earlier, the European Union countries can derogate from, that is, not comply with or not apply, the regulation if they feel that the imposition of the national law, English law in our example, would be against that country's public policy. In France, it's already been raised, but not yet resolved. I'm not aware of any court cases in France where the question has been argued in front of the judge. But what they're saying is, particularly with regard to land in France, perhaps your holiday home, it's a matter of French public policy that your heirs should inherit solely in accordance with French law, particularly if those heirs themselves live somewhere in the European Union. Doesn't have to be France, they might live in Germany. So here you are, you've got an English couple, they've got a French house, and it happens that their children are at university in France or Belgium, perhaps. So the children are resident there, and that may well be enough for French law to say that the children must inherit a share of that property, rather than, for example, leaving it all to the survivor of the couple, and the children only get it on second death. Well, as I've mentioned, it's not yet been resolved. I think there's also an issue in Germany along similar lines. So when these circumstances arise, I always advise clients to take local advice in the relevant country in a hope that we can resolve the position somehow. Again, perhaps using a local will and restricting the English will to assets outside of the European Union.
Well, that is definitely food for thought. So our listeners may have heard the term domicile. Can you explain what that means?
Well, domicile from our point of view, English point of view, is a common law concept. So it's not defined in statute, except for inheritance tax, but instead in cases. Perhaps the easiest way to explain it is that your domicile is where you currently intend to permanently live. But it is quite complicated. Everyone starts with the domicile of origin. It's generally the domicile which your father had at the date of your birth, if your parents were married at the time, or your mother's domicile if your parents were unmarried at the time. You can then change that when you get to a point in your life where, for example, you move to another country on a permanent basis and you cut all or virtually all of your ties with your country of origin. So this is called a domicile of choice. For example, I might be born and brought up in England, my parents are English. Perhaps it comes to a point where I decide to go and live in Spain on a permanent basis. I've no intention to return to England, all my assets are in Spain, and I've cut all my ties with England. But I may no longer have property in England, no bank accounts, my work is in Spain, my house is in Spain, bank accounts, investments in Spain. And then I die. At that point, without going into too much detail today, I'll have taken a domicile of choice, being that of Spain, and therefore English law will say that Spanish law applies to my assets. What if I retained a property in England? Now here we come up against something called private international law. And again, it's an English law concept. And it says that movable assets pass on your death under the law of your domicile, but immovable assets pass under the law of the country in which they're situated. Movable assets are your personal items. So cash, bank accounts, usually stocks and shares, your cars, jewellery, debts owed to you and so on. Immovable assets are basically land. So it might be your house, your holiday home, or land you use for grazing your animals, whatever it might be. And then there is a potential of conflict of laws. So going back to the example of Spain, Spain has a unitary system, and it says that all assets pass under Spanish law if a person is a Spanish national or resident in Spain. So it's not the same as the concept of domicile as in England, but England will say, yes, you're domiciled in Spain, so everything except the English land passes under the Spanish law, and the English land passes under English law. And that can cause all sorts of difficulties, particularly if you've got heirs in both countries and they argue, well, which law applies?
That is fascinating, especially in an ever-increasingly global world. These issues are never been more important, have they? Well, thank you so much for that great insight into potential issues for those with assets in the EU and for being our legal eagle.
Well, I hope we've given you some interesting things to think about. And if you happen to own assets in the European Union, if you've got any questions, you can come to Berry & Lamberts and talk to us about them. Doesn't have to be the European Union. It could be anywhere in the world.
That is great. So you can contact the team at berryandlamberts.co.uk and join us next month for more Legal Eagle.